B-Pod Studios.
They're great. What a great place. Misconduct Tavern here today at 1511 Locust Street in Philadelphia. Stop on by. It's draft day. Let's go back to the phones. We'll conduct the top 10 on both ends of Eagles draft history. Let's go to Joey in Kentucky. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Going back to your question you asked earlier about, you know, if you're excited or not, I'll ask you guys a question. Who do you believe in most management-wise out of the four teams? Who's at the top of the list?
Chuck Fletcher.
All right.
I'm kidding.
Chuck Fletcher.
I'm kidding.
I mean, I like Elton Brand a ton.
So, I do, too. I mean, it's a toss-up really between Brand and Howie in my eyes. But I give Howie the slight edge because of the championship.
It's hard because, you know, the Phillies, whether you give a Klentak the credit or Middleton's checkbook, and that's certainly a huge part of it. But, I mean, they accomplished a lot this offseason, too.
It's not just Harper. It's a great time. Yeah. It's a great time in sports.
But the fact that you have to consider those three up against each other right now, that's great.
I think he's a distant third.
Total toss-up.
Yeah. To me, I'm going to go Brand because I think he accomplished the harder parts already. Now he's got to build the bench.
But I think Elton and Howie, I agree, they're close. Klentak is distant because of the money.
Yeah, he's got that at his disposal.
Yeah, but I don't know. Going into the draft tonight, I trust Howie to make the right choices. And if the smart move, the prudent move is to trade back and get picks, I trust him to do that. If the move that I want, you know, to get one of the defensive linemen from Clemson, if they're there, take that and then get a running back in the second round. That's what I want. To me, the answers are pretty obvious when you go into this draft. And that's why I'm not like super excited about it. I don't need the flair. I just need them to make good picks, surround the team that they already have with more talent, and reload to go on another run this year, you know?
Interesting, yeah. It's good stuff, bro.
It's great. Joey, you're right, too. And that's why I said it's the more prudent thing. Like it's important to find that heir apparent for Jason Kelce in the fourth round or third round. It's important to find a Brandon Brooks replacement down the road, or, you know, you look along that D-line, Brandon Graham's replacement. Find those pieces.
Totally. I'm with you. I have a lot of trust in Howie, too. I think Howie's
sharp.
Yeah, I do. I think he's a sharp dude. I think he knows. I think Joe Douglas, I think all those guys, Andy Whitehall. I do. I like that group a lot.
The triumvirate?
Yeah, I think it's a good group.
Let me ask you a question, because it's a very interesting situation with the top of this draft tonight. When Commissioner Goodell steps to the podium and he says, with the first pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select. Does he say Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
It's a weird situation, isn't it?
And then they trade Rosen to the Giants.
Okay, so Rosen goes to the... Oh, see, I don't like hearing that.
You don't like hearing that?
No.
I don't know how good Josh Rosen is going to be.
Yeah, I mean...
I saw a lot of questions about him.
Yeah, which is why they're taking Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I mean, if he was the answer...
You see Kyler Murray, and the reason why they're doing this, is it because you see Mahomes?
Yes.
It's almost exactly the reasoning why, right?
Yeah.
It's that athleticism that's just like, whoa.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he's going one. I don't think I'd take him one.
Too short?
He's small.
Yeah.
He also doesn't, like, if you look at Mahomes, Mahomes is thick. Like, he's got.
He's a running back.
Yeah, like he's got some sturdiness to him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how sturdy Murray is.
Yeah.
I mean, that would scare me. I think he's went down pretty easy.
Yeah.
You can fling him down. Mahomes got that sturdiness. He's tremendous. I told you the other day, Spags played golf with him.
Uh-huh.
And he said that dude, what is he like?
Bombing it.
And he goes, he's ridiculous. He's just a ridiculous athlete.
Yeah, you could put him on skates and he'd be able to play.
Right.
You know, just no matter what you do, he plays croquet, he's the best.
But I don't know, Murray. I have big questions about him. I wouldn't take him.
So I asked you the question because the path to the draft show is on right now, and they're talking about short guys, and they're talking to Doug Flutie, who was 5'9", and they got J-Roll.
Yeah.
Commenting on it.
That's
on
great.
Kyler Murray.
It's cool.
Because J-Roll is only 5'7".
Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, right? A little bit on the size. Now he's not 5'9".
He's a little thicker, though.
Exactly.
And very tough.
Yeah.
I feel like with Baker Mayfield, there's that tough. Yeah, Breeze is the same kind of guy. But, like, he looks almost like mini.
Yeah, I mean, he's fast. He's got a great arm. He can flick it, you know, down the field. But look at, I mean, we're watching right now. Look at his legs.
Yeah, and look at his shoulders.
He's thin, man.
He looks like Danelle Pumphrey.
Like Russell Wilson is squat.
Yeah.
Right. He's a shorter quarterback, but he's got, you know, he's got quads.
Yeah, he's got a big keister
and
big quads. And a lot of power comes in that area to be able to break tackles.
Surprised you didn't want to play baseball.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in.
Hey, draft day. Real quick, guys. Sorry to interrupt. Sixers put out a medical update for Mike Scott. Remember, he suffered the bruised right heel during the second quarter. Yeah. He is currently experiencing plantar fasciitis in his right foot. He's not going to practice today. He's currently considered day-to-day. An initial status for Scott for Saturday's game at Toronto will be determined by 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay.
Ooh, I also need to give you a disturbing stat.
Regarding the Sixers?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I don't like it. I don't want to be disturbed.
I got to give it to you.
All right. Well, stay tuned and find out, as they say. Jeez. Just having a good day, enjoying the football conversation.
No, I got to give it to you.
All right.
Okay. I don't want to give it to you, but I got to give it to you.
All right, we come back to...
I don't know if it means all that, but it's a stat.
We need to add three players to each side of the best of all-time draft picks and worst of all-time, right?
Let's do two quick ones.
Quickies? Right now you want to do a quickie?
Yeah, two quickies. So we got B. West as one. How about that Clyde Simmons?
Ooh, eighth rounder was Clyde?
So that's a great eighth round. You're correct.
Yeah. Do you want to go right to Seth Joyner there, who was taken a round prior?
Yeah, we'll throw that in there, too.
Yeah, I mean, Seth was a great pick.
Incredible pick.
All right, I'm trying to think of like another first round. Do you want to put Anton Davis on the list? Or
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Worse than Mamula. Mamula is not as terrible because it's just his storyline makes it worse.
Yep.
John Harris.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Was awful.
Terrible. Okay, yeah, put John Harris on there.
You got it.
That's a good one. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. This is the Midday Show, live from Misconduct Tavern on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I got to tell you about the great people at the Rothenberg Law Firm. I'm sure most of you, and you've heard by now, the Phil's made a big commitment to a certain outfielder this offseason. And at the Rothenberg Law Firm, they tune how important commitment is, especially when it comes to their clients and to being the best law firm in Philadelphia. Alan Rothenberg and his team, yeah, they're fully committed to fighting and, of course, winning for their clients and have been every single day for over 49 years now. The Rothenberg Law Firm's commitment to protecting, fighting, and standing up for the injured people of Philadelphia has helped them build and grow their firm into the trusted household name that it is today. So if you're injured and you want to win, make the commitment to winning and call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number to call, 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can visit their website at injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Earlier today with Gargano and Mertidis.
You know, I got to ask the audience this question. You and I love the draft. We both love college football. But I'm getting the sense that Eagle fans right now aren't feeling the draft.
I got to tell you, I'm really stunned. I was going to bring this up.
Yep.
I mean, quite frankly, we got open lines. I'm stunned by that.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm curious.
Maybe we're off base today.
Because it's freaking me out, too. I'm looking the same thing you are, thinking... Do people not want to talk NFL draft?
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guy. With your chance to win great prizes just for eating delicious hoagies from the area's best Real Philly delis. Visit realphillydeli.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis.
Whoa!
Yeah, we have Eagles news, by the way. The Eagles have agreed with Timmy Jernigan on a one-year contract.
Really?
So they bring Timmy Jernigan back to give you some rotation inside that defensive line.
Very interesting. So they lose the big cap hit by not picking up the option in his contract, and ultimately they re-sign him probably to a one-year veteran minimum.
Yeah, you
Howie's a genius.
He is. That's a great move by Howie.
Oh, jeez.
And you got a pretty good rotation, because you're gonna have Curry. Curry can play inside and outside. Yep. So, and Vinny's a good depth guy, but he comes back. He loved it here. He'll be motivated.
Oh, and he was great with Fletcher Cox too in that Super Bowl year.
He was, and he loves it here. Loves it, from here and nearby, and so he'll be excited.
Well,
that's good news,
right? I'm
feeling
good about the D line all of a sudden.
Yeah, I am too. However, there is one troubling stat I give you.
All right.
And let me cite David Murphy. He does a really nice job. I like David. So here you go. In two games against Marc Gasol, Joel Embiid is 8 for 28 from the field with 10 turnovers. Oof. And just two block shots.
Oof. 10 turnovers. You talked about it yesterday. You got to protect the ball.
Yeah.
10 turnovers.
So 8 for 28. Now, it's funny because I thought Valanciunas played him tough.
Gasol played him better.
Yeah. 8 for 28, 10 turnovers. Two block shots. That's
wow.
It.
That's not good. So somewhere it's probably around like 19 points with that 8 for 28 total. Oof. What is it about Gasol that's just forcing him into bad shot selection and turning the ball over?
It's interesting because the block shot, the only two block shots make sense because Gasol's going to try to bring him out. So he's going
around the rim.
The basket.
Yeah.
So since he's away from the basket, there's, he's quick at rotating back to help.
Yep.
But, Gasol can make it pay. So he's going to bring him out. It's interesting because I don't know why offensively he struggled so much.
Well, it sounds like he's trying to put the ball on the floor.
He should
turn it over.
This is where he needs to get on the low block and post up. Gasol can't guard him underneath.
Yeah. Well, that's not a good stat. I don't like that at all. It's a detailed stat. Relatively small sample size. But
two games.
Yeah, two games is... It's not nothing. So, I don't like it, Ant. I don't like it. That's going to be one of the matchups to keep an eye on. And I just don't like the fact, and you keep repeating it. I don't like the fact that he's going to pull him away from the basket. Because we all know that we want him under the basket as much as possible. No, we don't demand it all the time.
Yeah, well, on defense, he's going to pull him away from, away from the basket. They're going to do something to not commit and allow him to rotate back quicker to the rim and protect the rim. Look how much success. Now, again, he didn't have to go. He could cheat against Jared Allen. There's no reason to guard him.
Yeah, because he's not going to shoot from the outside anyway.
So, but Gasol can make you pay a little bit. Here, take the shot. You want to beat me? Go ahead, beat me.
Yeah, because you're going
to
need your
I'd rather have him close to the basket.
Yeah. Let's take a quick look at our poll here. It's brought to you by Poll of the Day, brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. It reads as follows. Do you feel as, quote, educated about this NFL draft like you have in recent years? 64% of the people that have responded, a lot of votes too, saying definitely not. 18% say, yes, I'm as educated. And another 18% say, never really have been educated anyway. So, but 64% basically saying they haven't done their homework like they had in years past. It's pretty interesting. And I get why. The team's had a lot of success. You're drafting 25th. You're expecting big things again this year from the team.
That's right.
So, but there's big decisions to be made. So we'll see how it plays out, Ant. I saw the scene of Nashville and where the stage is set up. Gotta say, it looks pretty cool. Certainly nothing as large as the Parkway when it was here 2 years ago. But Nashville's a cool city.
How great was that?
Oh, my God. Did you see the Eagles tweeted out?
No.
Three days of glory?
Yeah. No.
Oh, it was awesome.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, tremendous. Cool. Tremendous stuff. By the way, Tyrone checking in said, that's misleading. One of those games, Fultz and Shamit, started this year. And TJ played 34 minutes and Korkmaz 23. They swarmed Embiid. It wasn't just Gasol.
That's good. That's good info. Tyrone.
Yeah. That's what you get out of the Sixers outsider.
That was one of the games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the point that you make is valid. You know he's going to pull him away from the basket.
Listen, I just saw the stats from David Murphy and looked at it. Yeah, I mean, look, Tobias never played against Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So
far different team.
They are. I'm not telling you I'm lock central, but I feel good. Like I feel the best I felt all year with the matchup.
Yeah, because you feel better in so many categories than you did even a week ago. Like, you just feeling better doesn't mean like you're like, oh, great, they're going to win. No doubt about it.
No, but there was a point where I was deathly afraid of this matchup with Toronto.
Yep.
But now, I think they got a puncher's chance. I think I'm stunned that it's, what'd you say it was again, the line for the series?
I think it's 265.
Like more than 2.5 to 1. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, it is high. Right now, yeah, it's minus 245 for the Raptors. Sixers plus 205.
2.5 to 1 is insane to me.
It's steep to me, too. Crazy. Well, it all starts on Saturday, dude. I mean, come on. You better strap it and be ready to go. 610-632-0975. We'll talk to Charles Davis. Let's get to him right now, Ant. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's all pumped up about the draft. Charles, it's draft day, man. It's one of the big ones.
Yes, it is. How are you guys doing?
What's up, CD? All ready, man, or what?
Yeah, we don't have any choice, do we? You know how that is. You know, there's
Nashville.
Once a certain date hits, that's it. Nashville's good. They're doing a fantastic job hosting. I'm just, you know, think about it, guys. Since they started moving this thing around, Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas, Nashville, each group, I think, has done a really nice job in hosting. Chicago got nailed the second year with weather on the last day. It was just abysmal. And that's not anything they can control. Philadelphia, still top of the heap for me. I know I'm talking to Philly. But that was just a phenomenal event and how it was staged. And
no, but it was.
All that. It was tremendous. Yeah. Dallas did a nice job last year.
The Art Museum, the Parkway. Dallas sucks.
You know, it was great. It was a little different in Dallas because they had it at the stadium last year. So it was great in the stadium because, you know, so many
like
people.
Plastic.
But this one, all outside. Very similar to Philadelphia. They blocked off downtown and people are enjoying themselves.
Yeah. That's cool. It's a good city. It's a lot of fun, that city. So interesting, in your own mock, you have the Eagles with a safety. Do you still believe that?
Listen, at this point, I believe anything and I don't believe anything. It's all the same. You know, you got to find places for people to put them. You know, you've got to try and make it to where it is somewhat plausible, and you would like it to be more than somewhat. It could easily be an offensive lineman there for me. You know, Brandon Brooks' injury, you know, that Achilles tear in the playoff game, that's a big deal because they've had a little bit of musical chairs with the guards for a while, you know, with Sayamalo and Wisniewski. And,
sure.
You know, and don't forget with Jason getting to where he is, and he's a battler, as you guys know, that he a bunch of games he had to come out of and didn't finish last year. So an offensive lineman, if somehow in that spot they felt they could get a guy of value, that would make a lot of sense to me. A number of places they can go. So safety, I thought, to be able to pair with Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod coming back off the injury, it'd be interesting there.
Hey, Charles, when you look at the Eagles situation and Carson Wentz and providing him weapons, they go out and got DeSean Jackson, Marquise Brown, Hollywood is a guy that is very intriguing to me. But is the more prudent move to trade back into the second round? They already have 2 second-round picks, 2 fourth-round picks, no third. But maybe to trade back in another second and a third, would that be the more prudent move for Howie Roseman in this draft and try and set yourself up with a little depth and get some offensive and defensive linemen as well?
Yeah, if they don't have absolute conviction on a guy at that number, it would make a great deal of sense because the way the draft is constructed, a lot of the depth is rounds 2 through 4.
And in the positions you're talking about, there should be a great amount of depth in those rounds and find players and add to your roster. So if Howie and his crew do not have absolute conviction, like that's a guy we absolutely want, and they can find a dance partner, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him try and make that move. Because there may be some teams down there at the bottom that may feel that they need to come up a little bit. And there may be a team that wants to get back into the first round for various reasons. I mean, I was talking with people in Cleveland yesterday, and they were talking about the Browns, who have no first-round pick, wanting to get back into the first round perhaps. You know, so there's always people to talk to. And look, 32
maybe Kansas City, too.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City as well, since they gave up their first. But, you know, there's always a target for coming back in to get a quarterback. And we think it's 32 with New England because they like to trade. New England held at 31 last year and took Sony Michel, and that worked out well for them.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm just curious. What is your when you look at the Eagles and you look at Howie and the job that he's done, how would you rate him and grade him?
So I think it's been a really nice job. I think that he's done it with an educated fearlessness. And we as human beings have a great need to be liked and appreciated. Whether we want to admit it or not, you know, we always run into people who go, I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I'm going to tell you how I feel at all times. And we have that, and there's an element of that. Most people are bluffing. Most people want to know that what they said was met with approval, what they said was something that people grasped onto, and that they matter to others. And Howie sense as a GM, as a person, I'm sure that's quite true. As a GM, I think that he's done it very dispassionately. What's best for the Eagles? What's best for our franchise? And since he's gotten that second bite of the apple, so to speak, I think he's gone about it understanding, hey, you see what happens, you know, the first time around, anything can happen. I'm going to do it the way I see best. And I think he's done a very nice job.
Hey, we're talking with Charles Davis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Charles, from a national perspective, we're obviously in the muck here in regards to the Eagles. And, you know, we see we have the concerns about Carson Wentz's health, and that is a big concern for this team moving forward for him and the success of the team with Nick Foles no longer being here. But getting into this 2019 season, how are the Eagles kind of perceived right now? Are they one of those teams that you can say, well, with a couple of the right moves here at the draft and, you know, some health, that they can be certainly a contender here in the NFC to represent them in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think they're definitely seen that way. You remember last year with everything that happened, they were really one pass away from getting to the NFC Championship game. You know, I mean, when they were making that last drive, and, you know, as we like to say, 12 times out of 10, Alshon Jeffrey makes that catch. Right, we saw one of the absolute flukes when that went through his hands and Lattimore intercepts and New Orleans survives. Okay. The feeling I had, and as I confirmed with my broadcast partner, Kevin Burkhart, and I think most people that you talk to, when they were making that last drive, I think everyone felt like it was going to end up in the end zone. They're going to the NFC Championship game. So this is the type of team that even without their fastball, even without all their best stuff, Brandon Brooks goes down in that game. Remember the secondary they played with? That same secondary that New Orleans had torched the first time? And Crayvon LeBlanc gets the interception right out of the gate? Guess what, folks? This is a team that battles, gets better all the time, doesn't panic under pressure. Yeah, I would fully expect them to be one of the prime contenders next year. And the draft gives them a chance to add to some of those pieces. Because, you know, a lot of people talk about corners and secondary. God, they were decimated with injuries. They'll get some of those guys back, and if you want to supplement it, you can as well. The big deal in the number one storyline, as you guys know, you don't have to be in the muck. It's just real. Carson Wentz, can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
Can he play to the level that we've seen him play? And it's just one of those crazy things that the number two pick in the draft, who was going to be the MVP the year they won the Super Bowl before he got hurt, the MVP of the league, it was a lock. He is now under extreme pressure because his backup carried him to a Super Bowl and then another playoff run the next year. Can he stay healthy and can he reach those heights and get there for Philadelphia now, which is just one of the wildest things. And so for him, I can't imagine having been in his head last year. you know, the first year you kind of work through it. Hey, great, we won the Super Bowl. The second year you're sitting there going, again, they don't need me. That's a big deal for him, and he's got to just work through that. I know he's been working on it, but everyone keeps saying the same thing. Carson Wentz, my God, he's got to get a Super Bowl because Nick Foles did it, and that's what he's got to go through.
Oh, it's tough, man. It is. I mean, could you imagine, like, you know, like we talked about, you're on the sidelines of the Super Bowl, but then you get hurt again. There's talk about your durability. There's talk about whether or not you're even good enough to play, whether that was a fluke. Like, there's all kinds of pressure on Carson.
Yep. And even more than that, boy, that team really responded well to Nick Foles.
Right. That's right.
Boy, he had a real connection with Alshon that I don't know that Carson did. God, all Carson did was throw it to Zach Ertz. He didn't throw it to the other guys. Right? You see where I'm going?
Sure.
All of those things kick in, and then we have the articles in the offseason that you got to battle through about whether the team likes Foles better or him better, and everybody to go through that. Then you got the Donovan McNabb, Lane Johnson thing going on, Lane protecting his quarterback, Donovan saying, listen, I'm just talking as an analyst. I love Carson, but durability, being able to be out there, that's real. And I don't think that he was wrong about that as being a discussion point. It's just really hard when it's Donovan McNabb doing it, the former Eagles quarterback. It makes it a bigger firestorm. And that's what he's got to go through right now. And for Carson, getting back on the field and playing may be the biggest relief in his life that no longer are we talking about. He's just out there playing. But he will have to stay healthy. And that's not something we can just flat out control by saying in your mind, I'm going to stay healthy. You know, you can't rock Tidwell it and go, mind over matter. I'm tough. I'm strong of mind and body. I'll play out my options.
Listen, we got to worry about
it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
It is. We got to worry about Joel Embiid staying healthy and Carson staying healthy. So, you know, we got a permanent case of agita.
Yeah, we eggshells in this town are on high demand, Charles. You cover the whole league, but it always seems like in Philadelphia. Now we're really close to it, but it always seems like it's very dramatic here. In Philadelphia, like, there's always these crazy storylines. You just brought it up, McNabb and Wentz and Nick Foles, the backup quarterback, wins the Super Bowl and that whole thing, and all the years from Kerry Williams and sconces to whatever, Shady McCoy and the party bus and the baby mama drama and Deshaun being traded and ganged, all of it. Is it like this in other cities?
You know, it is, but it's not. Philadelphia's unique. It's the character of Philadelphia. You know, and that's not a negative. That just is. Let me throw this at you. Tell me. Tell me on this one. What if the Legion of Boom in Seattle existed as the Philadelphia Eagles? And Richard Sherman talking all the time, and Michael Bennett with Seattle talking all the time, and what's the drama with Russell Wilson? What if Russell had thrown the interception in the end zone in the Super Bowl, and this was the Philadelphia Eagles coming back the next year?
Oh,
it was tough enough in Seattle. Yeah. Could you imagine what it would have been like in Philadelphia and Pete Carroll dealing with the media there and going through all that? Last year, Pete Carroll was the happiest coach in the league that I met. And my simple theory was he loved all those great players that he had, but they were approaching the finish line. And every day, it's kind of like, have you seen that movie Costner did, The Baseball for Love of the Game?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that? Yeah. Okay, you remember he has his nemesis, Sam Tuttle, and he throws a pitch and it's a strike, and Tuttle goes, that looked inside. And he turns around muttering to himself, that's your problem, Tuttle. Everything's a GD debate with you. Well, that was Pete Carroll with that team. He couldn't say anything without it being a debate. They had to talk about everything. I think he was so happy to have a quieter locker room last year where he just said, I'm going to coach, you're going to play, and they did. And that team went to the playoffs, and he feels like they can get better. At a certain point, you can't have those same conversations all the time. Could you imagine that in Philadelphia, that ball club at that time? In Seattle, it was handled actually pretty easily in a lot of ways. In Philadelphia, you guys would have had a ball. I mean, wow.
Good question. Yeah.
Yeah, we would have freaked out.
Yeah.
We would have freaked out. Big time. Freaked out. CG, thank you so much, brother. Listen, enjoy yourself down there.
Hey, I am. How can you not? It's the draft. I'm lucky enough someone's allowed me to work. You know, I feel like Marv Thornberry. I don't know why they're letting me do this, but I'm glad they are. And yeah. I'm back here in Nashville. I went to school in Knoxville. So I'm back in the volunteer state I was born. So this is pretty cool.
Well, enjoy it, man. We really appreciate the time, Charles. I know you're busy today. So thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you up the road.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care of that agita, okay?
No doubt.
We'll do,
Charles Davis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Top of the hour, another keyword. Chance to win $1,000 on draft night. And also, bring the heat coming up as well. A lot to get to here on the Midday Show, live from Misconduct Tavern on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let me tell you about the uncles at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Uncle Greg, Uncle Paul, they want to let you save thousands right now on that new Jeep 4x4 Ram pickup. Right now, you can save 30% off MSRP on a new truck, van, or Jeep. That savings as much as $15,000 from Philadelphia's original Jeep dealer. Family's proud to be family-owned and operated for three generations. See, the uncles, they've been down there. They're staying power. That's why they're so successful, because of who they are. Very familial. You just fall in love with these people, man. They're the best. They want the best for you. You always go to them. They're going to treat you like gold. And just remember, they want you to know that, yeah, you come down and you'll save 30% off MSRP, 15 grand as much. But look, at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're going to be more than a customer. You will be family. That's right. In the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall, online anytime at familyautos.com. See the uncles for details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, welcome back. What a spot. Misconduct Tavern.
What a wing.
It's a great wing.
Love the wing.
It's a wing. It's a great wing at Misconduct Tavern.
Oof.
We're in a fun place, man.
Yeah.
I've been here before just at the bar drinking, but it's fun hanging out.
Dude tweets the show and says, Timmy J is back after the Eagles re-signed Tim Jernigan.
Yeah.
He goes, that means we're drafting Hollywood Brown. I love it. Mike goes, wonder if Jernigan signing takes them out of trading up now for Wilkins and maybe making Hollywood Brown more the pick.
Maybe. I don't think they trade up for Wilkins. I know Jeff said that, and I would love it. I think it's about getting multiple positions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need back. Look, you know what you need. You need offensive line help. You need defensive line help, depth. You need a linebacker. You could use a running back and a receiver. So
yeah, and you could use a cornerback that you can use on special teams. For
I mean, just makes sense, right? That they probably would trade. We'll see who's there. I think that's another big aspect to this thing.
Yeah,
but to your point, you wanted him. He would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he would be spectacular. Now Philly, fantastic. Tweets in and goes, for one of the best draft picks of all time for the Eagles, how about the fourth round value the Eagles got drafting Nick Foles? Now he came back. Oh, you put him on your list.
Third round
value, yeah.
Third round, I got him on. I have my list.
Wow, you put your whole list together.
I did.
He has also, let me see if this guy's on your list, in the seventh round, Harold Carmichael.
That's a great pick. No, yeah. I do not, and I should.
All right. He has two worst. His worst was Marcus Smith, first round. You obviously have that on the list.
Yep.
Yep, right there. And then what about Kevin Cobb in the second round?
Nah, there's worse. A lot worse.
All right. Is there any running backs on your list, on your worst list? Was it 1983? I'm trying to look at their draft.
Yeah, I do have it. Yes, I do have a running back.
You have
him? Yeah, Michael Haddix.
Yeah, Michael Haddix in 1983 draft. They took with their first pick in that draft. Is Kevin Allen on your list?
Yes, he is. By the way, he was you know, he was charged. He was arrested for sexual assault on the beach in Margate.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was a crazy story about there was this girl and a guy, and then he and this other dude came jogging up, and they were both nude.
Wow.
And yeah, horrible story.
Maybe one of the guys on your best is also from that 85 draft out of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas in the second round. Yeah, Randall.
Without
second
a doubt.
Second round pick. He was 37th overall out of UNLV. And, of course, his backup quarterback at UNLV was Kenny Mayne.
That's right. That's right.
Pretty classic.
Yeah, it's classic.
And then Kenny Jackson not going to make the cut. Haddock's
that's what Kenny Jackson does. He was horrible.
Oh, really?
He was the number 4th overall pick.
Yeah. Oh, that. Well, you got to consider that he was 4 overall. You're right. Why? You don't draft wide receivers out of Penn State.
4th overall pick.
Come on, man. Don't take a wide receiver from Joe Pa. So he makes your worst list. Well, you got a great list. Mike Quick, nah, I mean, that's not going to be in there. I'm trying to find some other guys in the 80s. Roynell Young?
Great pick, but there's too many other good picks.
Okay. Jerry Robinson, but you got Al Harris. All right, well, we'll have the audience fill in some of the blanks here, but you got a great list going. Let me ask you about this one.
Yeah.
Back in 2001. Now, we love him. Fred X.
Do not have him.
He's 25th, so it's not like he was hot.
I don't have him on the bad list.
Okay, but he was a bust.
Yeah, I mean the shame is that he, you know,
flames everybody else.
Yeah, I mean I think part of it, you know, was he wound up, you know, I mean it was weird how his career ended so abruptly. He never got in a shot with anybody else. Everybody usually gets a shot, and kind of felt like he was. There was some collusion there against them.
I got to give Andy credit for a draft year, and it was 2002.
Oh,
what a great
right?
draft. At the 26th pick in the first round, they took Lito Shepard. Now, this is when Bobby Taylor, you know, is still here, and Andy had a lot of foresight in this draft.
Second third pick, round pick.
Yeah, well, the second they even took Michael Lewis, who looked like he was going to be a player out of Colorado, and then Sheldon Brown, they get out of South Carolina with the 59th overall pick.
Isn't that amazing?
And I mean, what a pick that was. And then in the third round, they go to Villanova in the main line, and they grab B. West.
I mean, that's one of the all-time great drafts.
That's a great draft right there.
Yeah.
And that's why they were a contender from 02 all the way through 08, when you have foundational draft picks like that.
That's right.
Amazing. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Glenn Mills, talk to Tom on the Fanatic. Hey, Tommy.
Yo, fellas.
Hey, Tom.
So, listen, I think the reason you're not getting so many calls is because everybody knows if this is going to be if Howie does his job right, it's not going to be necessarily an exciting draft where there's going to be somebody picked that's like this big name person. But I'll tell you what excites me, man, winning. Okay. And if they pick, in my opinion, I say they go O-line first pick, man. You see this guy, Eric McCoy? He can even play guard or center. They're saying he could possibly go late. First round, the dude's a monster. 6'4", 303 pounds, and he ran the combine 4.89 on the 4-yard dash. The dude's like a phenom. So I say you go him and possibly D back on the second pick. So I don't know, you know, for me Carson is the key to us in the future, and you gotta protect him. We gotta go O line, man. You know what I mean? As much as everybody wants running back.
I hear you. The problem is I think the better offensive linemen are going to go beforehand. Like I think, you know, that's the really good guy. I think, look, it's very deep position, and they could very well go that route. But I think the best ones are going to be gone by the time the Eagles pick. Like Juwan Taylor, who is terrific from Florida, he's going to go. Cody Ford, who is really good from Oklahoma, he's been, like, skyrocketing. And even the kid from Boston College, Chris Lindstrom, who's a guard, he'll probably go, too.
So you're getting down into the 4th, 5th, 6th ranked at that position by the time they
draft. That's the only problem. We got Andre Dillard, the tackle from Washington State. Now, they could go. I wouldn't do this, but I mean, I just kind of a bias against the position in the first round, but they could go the center position with Jenkins out of Mississippi State.
Yeah, that seems like that's not a first round need to me.
I agree with you.
I mean, I know Kelsey's getting up there in years, and it's one of the
great picks. Brought that up.
Yeah, one of our guests brought that up in the last couple of days. That was, I think it was Chris Spielman actually that brought it up.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought, but and I think you and I both kind of scoffed at it, like initially, kind of like, I don't know about that. I don't know if I go there in this draft at that high.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. By the way, I got to pass this along to you regarding Mike Scott.
Mm-hmm.
This is from David Murphy. Asked Brett Brown if he's game planning as if he'll have Mike Scott. He said no.
Oh, okay.
If we do, it's a blessing.
Mm.
Now, that's a problem because you wanted him playing a lot of five, so Boban doesn't have to go on a, you don't have to play a lot of Boban.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the bench is already thin, and it's going to be thinner. It's tough.
That's a terrible loss. That's a big loss.
Another name for your list.
Yeah.
On the good side. How about Big Red in the fifth round? Going out to the University of Oregon and snagging a quarterback who wasn't even the starter for his squad. And A.J. Feely eventually turning him in to a second round pick with Miami.
That's great. That's a great call. I don't have him on it, but it's a great call. Mm-hmm. You know, in that sense.
Asset management there.
See, I'll tell you, he was a great... People, I know people with Andy, they feel a certain way. But he was a great personnel guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the one who drafted Nick Foles.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that dude knew quarter. He knows talent. He wanted to take Russell Wilson. He got beat.
Yeah.
Or he would have drafted him.
Yeah. In the third round, right?
Yep.
Yeah. One more for you on your great picks. How about another guy out of the University of Cincinnati, former Bearcat? In the fifth round.
Great pick.
Played his entire NFL career in this city and went out with a Super Bowl. Brent Celek.
It's a great pick. It is.
That's a great pick.
Really good tight end. I don't have him on it.
Great leader for the team.
Well, yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, you think a great pick, that you think a guy that
I thought you were going somewhere else with Cincinnati.
Oh, you think Kelsey?
Nope.
Trent Cole?
Yep.
Yeah, Trent. Did he make your list?
He didn't. I mean,
he was a six round pick, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to See, the problem is you had some amazing selections.
Yeah, you really do. It's amazing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.